Corinthians chapter 2. And if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now in all that I've got consolation, comfort, communion, compassion, and consideration. That's all I'm going to speak of. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, now that's three times we've got the word mind there. One mind, verse 2. Lowliness of mind, verse 3. Verse 5, let this mind. Now get this, what it's going to say. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. These three words, he humbled himself. Now don't get bored. I want to read one more verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Now, I got in the back of my Bible here about five pages of notes, and I'm not even going to look at them. Might be too dangerous. In my notes here, my record, I have, right here in these notes, that I said something about this subject about 23 years ago, a little better than 23 years ago, at the Huntsville Conference. Well, I don't think I've even mentioned this subject for about 17 years. I don't think so. But it just kept coming to me, and I couldn't get anything else to bring to Deer Lake at this time. He humbled himself. You know, we're living in a crazy world, Christian. Really. You know, it's a good thing that we preachers live in the same world you do. We hear the same things. We see the same things. You know, well, these preachers here, they're nothing special. They're not as big as they look. They don't live on cloud nine. Climb up, sunshine, mountain, heavenly breezes blow, I'm happy all the day. Oh, that's great for a song, you know, especially if it's got a nice lilt to it, you know, and you can sing parts to it, makes it sound better. But listen, this is a cold, callous, cruel world that you and I live in. And don't you ever forget, it's the devil that's the god of this world that you live in. He's the god of this world. This world order, you know, this entertainment world, the financial world, the sport world, of course that's part of the entertainment, I guess, and the political world, it's the devil that's the god of this world. And John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is in the world. You talk about TV. You know, well, I'd say that's the apex of this world. That's the top, a stone. I'm not fooling. You want to talk about it personally. You say a kick on the TV? Can't. I would just love to put a 10-pound sledgehammer right through every one of them. And I, no, listen. I'm not going to harp on this, but listen, Christian, I know an atheist. I'll give you his name. I've mentioned this time and time again, but when you consider that a man, an atheist, will write a book of 360 pages, and he does nothing but damn that thing from page 1 to page 360. I say an atheist. Not he was an atheist. He is an atheist. You say, I can control it. Don't tell me you can control it. I don't believe it. And you know what this atheist said? I wasn't going to get on this. I'm going to get off the path. You know what this atheist said that I mentioned? His name is Jerry Lander. You know what he says? Talking about the TV. He said, don't let anybody tell you they can control it. He said, since when does anybody control an absolute dictator? Since when does anybody control an absolute dictator? Just like Nebuchadnezzar, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. I saw, you know that page in the Reader's Digest, quotable quotes? I don't get the Reader's Digest, but I see it's my quotable quotes, you know. Well, I saw a one-line quote, and I forget who was. Now, they usually put the, you know, signature on the end. And all it said was this. TV. Mental assault with intent to kill. Listen, my brother. Okay, let's forget it. Listen to this. The mind. 3 times. What mind? The mind of Christ. You know, our brethren have been telling you about this thing and that thing, you know. Amen, brother. I said amen. My head was shaking all the time. I was saying amen. If you didn't hear me, I was saying it under my breath. For everyone that has spoken, amen. But you know, out this mind of ours, it's as cute and as subtle and as sneaky as the devil himself. This mind. I can worm my way around these arguments these brethren have been saying this afternoon. And yeah, I intend doing that. Yeah, that'd be a great thing, boy, if I only could. I purpose starting New Year's Day. If I only had the gift that some of these men have. Oh, so, yeah, if I only could. And so we worm our way, we wiggle and squirm and we'll get out of it somehow or other. No problem. I can wiggle my way out of all these, all these arguments. My heart's just as wicked as yours is. I can do anything you can do. I can do anything you've done. And I can do anything you haven't done. But what's this about, let this mind be in you? Well, there's one thing sure. You know, this is a very solemn passage. Not only solemn, he's talking about practical ministry. Listen, that's all we've had today. And that's all we had yesterday. So this is going to end up a practical conference anyway. Practical? But you know where practice ends, don't you? In the glory. That's where it ends. And I was thinking about the now age, you know, at least three or four or five of us had these Bible readings yesterday, you know. There was other things I wanted to say, you know. You just never get a chance, you know, to jump in, you know, and then we never get double the chance that might have liked to got in there. But you know one thing I was going to say yesterday? The remedy for this now age, eh? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. This present world. This present age. You know the remedy for the now age? The now God. That's what we love. You know, it's nice, you know, our Father which art in heaven. He's way up there. I don't know how far away it is, but it must be way beyond the stars. Nice to have a God way up there because, you know, you don't have to worry him as long as he stays up. But we got the world all around us, crowding us, smothering us. just completely swamping it, the world. How come? Because we don't let God swamp us. Oh, you mean we let? No, of course you don't. You don't have to let the Lord swamp you. Maybe you don't like that word. Well, I want you to get the idea. That's all I want you to get. Where's the start? Right here. But, you know, this is one thing. When does it start? Well, when does it start? You know, when are we going to do this? I'll tell you when you're going to do it. Right now where you're sitting. He humbled himself. Yeah, that's what he came for. What are you here for? What are you in this world for anyway? Did God send his son into the world? Yes. Did he send you into the world? Yeah. God sent you into the world. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. You're sent into the world. What is he sent in the world for? To represent his God. What are you sent in the world for? To represent your God in Christ. Through Christ. Where does all this go? How does it go? The mind. Mind. That's why it starts right now. You know, our brother was talking about love. Okay, what's love? What is it? What's love? You can't tell me what it is. Come on, now, you cannot tell me what love is. Give me a definition of love. I defy you. I defy you, I tell you, to give me a definition of love. I don't want a definition of love. You can't give me one, and I don't want one. But you can show it. And if you don't show it, don't you dare talk about it. My brother was right. Love gives. And it has to give. It can't do anything else but give. That's the only thing it can do is give. That's what it's made for. Brother was saying, McLeod is gone. Give and give. Yeah, give and give. Give it away. Yeah, let it go. Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to lose it. Yeah, you're going to lose it? There's no way you can lose it. Lose your life? No, you can't lose it. The whole thing's going to come back on you with compound interest. You call that losing it? Did the Lord Jesus lose? Hey, look where he is now. Look where he is now. But I'm afraid to lose. I'm afraid to lose. Oh, I'm afraid of losing my reputation even. Whew. You go easy the way you handle me. I've got bristles as long and as stiff as yours. And they got points on the end of every one of them. Like a porcupine. Why? I gotta defend myself, don't I? Sure, sure. Of course. But that's not what you were sent this world for. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself. Oh, yeah, I know we're being told all the time what we're supposed to do. But the big issue, the big thing, and really, the big thing, what's the big thing? Now what? We know what we ought to do. I know we should go. We know we should be that. Oh, I know we should do that. I know we should give it. How are we going to do it? Oh, the how? That's the big thing. Isn't that the big thing? How are we going to do it? You know, if I only could, I'd be glad to if I could. Well, tell me how. You know, that's been the fault of our religions all down through the ages. All the religions way back from Tower of Babel. That's where religion started. Well, of course, religion started in the Garden of Eden, or just outside. Garden of Eden, you know, with Cain. That's where religion started. But it headed up at Babylon. Babel, Tower of Babel, that's where it headed up. And it's been flowing down ever since.
And they all could tell you what to do. All the religions tell you what to do. All the Eastern religions, all the ancient religions, they all tell us what to do. But none could tell her how. You know, it's only Christianity that can tell any man how to do it. It's only Christianity can do it. So the danger, he started off with. The atmosphere you're moving in. The element you're moving in. Yeah. What's the element? The mind of Christ. But I didn't give you a very important feature. It's here, and you hardly ever hear it mentioned. You know how famous this portion is, don't you? And I say you hardly ever hear it mentioned. What? The mind of Christ. Oh, come on, we hear about the mind of Christ. Just right now. What does it say? Listen, please, what it says. So you'll never be able to say you didn't hear it. Being, he became. Being in the form of God, he didn't think it all. He didn't think it's something to grab at, equality with God. But being that, he humbled himself. That's the mind of Christ. What am I trying to say? I want to make so plain that you'll never, ever be able to forget. I'm going to put it this way. The secret, the real secret of humility as seen in Christ is the consciousness, the security, the reality, the realization, the consciousness of true greatness. If you don't realize who you really are as a Christian, you're living in fear. You're afraid you're going to lose. You're afraid somebody's going to grab it and run. What was the mind of Christ? I'd love to read it, and I'd love to quote it. I'd love to refer to it. John 13. Now what did he say? You know what happened in John 13. He humbled himself. Can you imagine deity on his knees, washing the dirty feet of his slaves? Can you imagine that? You know who it was. You realize who it was that was washing those dirty, stinking feet of those men? Might be some of our creator. I said, how can he do it? How can he do it? Well, this is what he said. This is what it says. What does it say? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, he comes from God and he's going back to God. He may decide to die, but he's all good himself, but one of the victims wants to be. Ah, did you get that? That's actually what it says. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hand, can he lose? Can he lose it? Can anybody take it from him? Can he be cheated out of it? Christian, whatever you're afraid of losing, whatever you fear you can be cheated out of, somebody can grab it and run away. Just in that measure, you live in fear. But what you've got that nobody can steal from you, what you've got that God has given you in Christ, salvation, a place in heaven, you're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You're not coming back. And you're going to go googly eyes of this crazy, stupid world all around us. And you're going to run around and watch them run around after a little bit of rubber of all that notion. Men and women, boys and girls, that are destined for the glory of God. But God has given us no way to get away from it. You can't lose it. You can't lose it. I say the consciousness of who I am, what God has done for me, and what I've got, and who I belong to. Nobody can cheat me out of that. So what? I can't lose. Do I have to defend myself? I can afford to be done. He humbled himself. Why? He can only gain. Sure, he was poor. And you're going to become poor, too. You can't do anything for God, Christian. You can do nothing for God without it costing you something. And the more it costs, the more you can do for God. We must bleed to bless. When do we start that? As soon as you get off your seat. He humbled himself. Be clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. That's the Lord Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be clothed with humility. When are we going to start? As soon as you stand on your feet and start talking to the person next to you. That's where you're going to start. You're going to defend yourself? You're going to show up? Tell them how much you know? Talk about the preacher? Talk about the priest? Talk about the day? Talk about him? Whatever it is, Christian, it's the mind. It's the attitude. And that's the most precious thing that you have. It's not about gifts. Oh, gift, God. Sprinkled out God's gift. God didn't give him a dime, a dozen. God's got lots of gifts to give away. The gift is not godliness. When you see a man stand on this platform, what you're seeing is gift. What you're hearing is a man's gift that God has given him. For your benefit. But we also have to remember that no man's word is effective beyond the effect it has on himself. And that's why God has mercy on me. And you pray for me. You pray for me. And you pray for all these dear brethren that have been on this platform today. Every one of them. And don't you criticize them. They can criticize themselves far harder than you can criticize them. They know they're not perfect. You pray for them. It's not easy. But we must do it. But Christian, every day, in the home, talk to your brethren. My priest will be here, you know. Oh, dear Leon, if he's there, pray better. You know, it's good to be here. But we're not going to build three tabernacles. Oh. We're not going to build three tabernacles. We don't want to stay here. We've nothing in the way to abide. We've nothing to regret or to lose. We're going to a better land. We don't want to stay here. But this is the only chance I'm going to get. The only chance I'm going to get. So as my brother Bruce has said, and I just love you now. I'm glad he spoke on it. Only chance I've got to walk with God in an ungodly season. Don't side up to the ungodly beside you. No, my friends are clean living. If they don't know Christ as their Savior, they are among the ungodly. And they can only drag you down. You cannot lift them up. They can keep respectable because you're a Christian. You know what? Excuse me, I didn't intend that. You know, I know you wouldn't like that. Christian, only chance you got, Jesus is coming, and he really is. I've talked to the odd ones here and there. He's really coming. And anything that makes me feel that a coming is near is good for my soul. And I'm just living on pins and needles because I know the Lord's coming. God help us. And bless you, Christian. You're going home. I know it's good to be here. Tomorrow you've got to go and face that godless world in the high school and in the shop and the store and the office on the street. Godlessness all around you. He humbled himself. That's Christ-likeness. That's the finest word. Synonymous of Christ-likeness. Humility. So as I sometimes say, keep holy. Keep humble. And you can't help but keep happy. You do that, God bless you.